Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
John chapter 10, he said the thief, and of course he's referring to the devil. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. He said, but I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Have it overflowing. God wants us overflowing with life. He wants us to walk in abundance. He's not a God of just enough. He's a God of more than enough. That's actually one of his names in Hebrew. It's El Shaddai. And literally it means the God who's more than enough. And that's who he wants to be in your life. But if we don't see him that way, then that's not how we're going to experience him in our life. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you believe in your heart is how life is going to be for you. And so that's why it's so important to renew our mind with God's word and fill our heart with the truth so that we're not deceived. Because there's a lot of lies in this world. This world is full of lies. But God's word is 100% guaranteed, proven truth. No artificial fillers, no colors, no preservatives. It is pure. It is pure. So when we fill ourselves up with God's word, it purifies us. It cleanses us of all the lies, all the deceptions that we've heard and been taught and have experienced in this life. Because all those things we've heard and been taught and experienced in life have caused us to form certain beliefs within our heart. And as a man believes within himself, that's how he's going to live out his life. That's how he's going to experience life. Proverbs chapter 4 says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. So it's what's coming out of you that is determining your life. Not so much what you're coming up against in life. Not so much what's happening around you in life. It's what's coming out of you that's determining the outcome of what's going on around you in life. And so we've got all kinds of things, could be very negative things going on around us, but if we believe right, if we believe the truth, then we're going to be able to walk in victory through whatever comes at us in life so that we're constantly coming up higher and higher and higher in every area of life to the point where we're getting fuller and fuller and abounding and overflowing with life. So there's nothing in this world that can drain you of life when you believe that absolute fullness of life is God's will for your life. When you're convinced that's God's will for your life, then even the things that would have normally drained you and do drain other people, you'll find that even those things will cause you to grow stronger and become more full of God, more full of his life. So it's what's going on in us. And so we want to renew our mind with the word of God and continue to grow in our faith and overflow with the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Set you free. Praise God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Freedom. So the truth sets you free. The Holy Spirit is freedom. He is liberty. This is God's plan for you. This is God's plan for you. No bondage. Now, we know the devil's called the oppressor. And he is called the spirit of bondage. And so that's what he's all about. But thank God we know better. We know Jesus defeated the devil, disarmed him, and gave us the victory over him. So now you and I are going to walk in that victory, walk in freedom. Life needs to be getting freer and freer and freer. Now, again, I didn't say everything around you, you know, there's freedom all around you. You can be around oppressive people all day. But what's happening in you? When we get around oppressive people, rather than getting oppressed, well, you do. You get oppressed by what you're impressed by. So if you're impressed by their oppression, then you're going to get oppressed. But when we get around oppressed people, we're not impressed. We're impressed with God. We're impressed with what he's done, getting us the victory. We're impressed with him living in us. So we get around oppressed people, we help bring liberty to them. We help bring freedom to them. We don't walk around saying, man, I can't work at this place anymore. I need to get a job at a Christian bookstore. Well, you ain't guaranteed to be around a group of free people there either. You know, there's no guarantees in the world, but there are guarantees in God. There are guarantees in Christ Jesus. And that's where you and I are living. That's where we're really living our life. It's out of him who is in us. And so when we get around oppression, we don't get oppressed. We look at it as an opportunity to be a blessing. I said, we look at it as an opportunity to be a blessing, to help be a blessing to somebody, to help liberate somebody, to be able to help somebody, because we've got what it takes to deliver. We got what it takes to help and liberate people. And so, you know, and I know the people have to be open to it, but, you know, even if they're not all that open to it, just maybe they can get a little slopped over blessing, you know, off of your life. You know, you just get around them a little bit, and you're just happy and full of life, and nothing gets you down. It don't matter what's going on all around. And so they just bump up against you. Instead of you getting offended, something spills over because you're overflowing. See, so something just spills over. It gets on them. And they feel a little bit of happiness in the midst of their negative circumstances. Right? So we're not judging our life by our circumstances. By Alfred or Agnes, or whoever you might be maybe married to, it doesn't matter. We don't judge our life by our circumstances. We judge our life based on what Jesus has done for us, what he has done for us, and he has set us free. Somebody say, I know the truth, and I've been set free. God wants me to walk in victory. Yes, yes, yes. Now, and learn to cheer yourself on in these things throughout the week. You know, you're going through something, just cheer yourself on. Say those things. Tell yourself those things. Confess those things. Speak those things. Remind yourself of these things. Praise God, God's got victory for me. Oh, this is turning around for my good. I don't know how it's going to happen. It doesn't look like it's going to, but man, it's going to. I know it is. God is for me, and I know this thing's going to work out for my good. And I just trust you, Jesus. My eyes are on you. You got to remind yourself of that. Keep that attitude shining out of your life. Keep that shining out of your life. You should always be aglow with the truth of God's word. And as you are, praise God, you're able to bring glory and honor and praise to him. And really, that needs to be our heart. That's how we're going to really get to know the truth. If you really want to know the truth that sets you free, you have to have a heart that wants to do the will of God, that wants to please him, that wants to honor him, that wants to exalt him, magnify him, lift him up. You got to have a heart for that. If you have a heart that wants to glorify him, it just opens you up for all the glory of God to be experienced in your life. We see that here in Isaiah chapter 60 in verse 7. He says, I will glorify the house of my glory. So we know now under the new covenant, you and I have been made, our bodies, our life has been made the temple of God. Now God lives in us. We are his house. And as his house, if it is our heart to glorify him, he says he will glorify the house of his glory. So we need to be a house that is for his glory. Our lives are for his glory. There's nothing more we want to do in life than please God. Please Him. And think about it. We can please God. Now, through our faith in Jesus, we're in a position where we can be fully pleasing to God, where we can honor Him with everything we say, with everything we do in life. God can be honored. God can be magnified. God can be lifted up. God can be praised. So, you know, praise and worship for us isn't just singing a song, but it's living a life. It's living a life as unto Him. And that's when life is going to be fulfilling. When we're living life unto Him, we're going to live our life by His word, with a consciousness of Him, which is going to fill us up with Him, fill us up with the truth. And as we're more and more filled with the truth, we are going to experience more and more freedom in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I love this. Why don't you turn there with me? 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, in verse 15, he says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." In other words, everything is for our sake, and the byproduct of that will be praise and thanksgiving towards God. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all thanks, all praise for every good thing that's going on in our life. Even when it looks like, hey, we were skillful and we did well, and we earned this victory. We earned success in this area in our life. We have to remember that skill came from Him. That skill is a part of His grace. And that victory, that ability to figure things out and work out problems in life, that's a part of His grace. See, a lot of times folks, when, you know, in praying, they want God to come in, rescue them, deliver them, fix things for them. But God doesn't do things for us. He does things through us. He does it through us. It's His grace on our life. So when you're expecting Him to deliver you in life, you can expect all of a sudden your mind to have a witty idea. All of a sudden for you to be able to see something that you may not have seen had it not been for the glory, for the grace of God upon your life. Had it not been for God intervening, there are some things you would have done, you would have overlooked, you would have walked into a real bad business deal, and you would have failed in a lot of areas, but His grace was there to prevent that from happening. I wonder how much God's grace was involved in you getting up this morning, getting dressed, and driving down a hazardous highway to get to church. And it's hazardous. You can see the grace of God. You drive down the road, and there's a guy next to you. He's driving the car looking down at a phone. And he's doing something while he's driving. And you think, my God, thank you, Jesus. Thank God for grace. His grace is all over the place. People do crazy things, and yet God's grace is there, preventing disaster, devastation. And then people do foolish things and they cause problems, but it would have been totally a whole lot worse had it not been for the grace of God to cause them to be protected, preserved, and to overcome. I mean, we don't know how much the grace of God is working in our life. We just got to realize it's working all the time. And it's working in the lives of heathens. It's working in the lives of people that don't even know God. They're not in church this morning. They're not seeking God. You know, God is in none of their thoughts. It's all about them in life and glorifying themselves. And yet, they just don't realize how much God's hand's on their life. I think back to when I was a teenager and I had a car and my nice spray painted by me myself black Camaro. I just remember this when I got into a race with a friend of mine. And so it was one lane, but I went over the double line, and man, I nailed it, and I was going as fast as I can to get around him, and I knew there was a turn up ahead with a red light or a light. And then it was, you know, it was like a dead end, you know, you had to go left or right. There was no more going straight. You know what I'm talking about. So it was a T, you know, and I know that's up ahead, but I can't let this guy beat me. And I got my foot on the pedal, and now I'm committed to this thing. Well, he realized I had overcommitted myself, and he just backed off, thank God. And I got in front of him, but it was technically too late. There was a telephone, it was a red light and a telephone pole. That's what I was looking at. And I hit the brake and turned the wheel, and the car went sideways, and I remember taking my foot off the brake and pumping the brake and then hitting the gas pedal as it was sideways, which made the car go and escape the telephone pole. And I thought, how cool am I? I am like the best driver. I meant to do that. That was the mercy of God. There's probably three angels standing there in front of the telephone pole. And the grace of God came on me. And I moved my feet the way they needed to go with the pedals. And I escaped a disaster. But it was the hand of, I know that now looking back. I know, I look back now and go, that was God. That was God. Because I remember it well. You don't forget that kind of stuff real easy. I know that was God. Back then, I didn't even think it was God. I didn't even consider God because God was not in any of my thoughts. But thank God, even while we were yet sinners, Christ was intervening in our life, and he loved us while we were yet sinners and died for us. He gave his life for us. So he was loving us even when we didn't care about him, but it was that love for us that has ultimately brought us to where we are today. Now we love him because he first loved us. So it's recognizing I need God in everything. And as God intervenes on our behalf and his grace becomes more apparent in our life, what's going to happen? He said thanksgivings will abound to God. Thanksgivings will abound to God. And I've gone to God in prayer. And there's been some people, I remember one lady years back, if something went right for her, she would just go on and on about, oh, praise God. She'd just go into a praise frenzy. You know, she would just praise God, very sincere. Yeah, she'd just praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, they had gotten into a situation. They had called me on the phone, told me about their situation. I said, all right, I said, I'll pray for you. And so I went before God and I took this scripture to him. I said, now, Lord, I thank you for having mercy on them because they had gotten themselves in this situation. I said, I thank you, have mercy on them in this situation. And Lord, let your grace come mightily on them because I know when you move and deliver them in this situation, praise and thanksgiving is going to abound to you. You are going to get all the glory and everybody's going to hear about it. And man, sure enough, man, God got in that situation and just cleaned it right up, fixed the whole thing. And there she was, testifying in church, testifying wherever she went of what God did for her. And she was giving him all the glory. So I said, Lord, basically what I was saying was she's going to give you all the glory. So glorify her in this situation. Let your grace come mightily and lift her up out of this situation and exalt her through it. And you will be glorified as a result of it. You will be magnified as a result of it. And God hears prayers like that. So in review and talking about some of the things that glorify God, we said going to him to pray glorifies him. Praying. You got to go pray. A lot of times folks just try to figure things out on their own and they don't go to him. But going to him says God's bigger than me. God's greater than me. God's greater than anybody else. He's got my answers. So we need to go to him in prayer. And not just pray prayers that we hope something happens, but we pray prayers of faith where we believe we receive the things we're asking for. And receiving from God through prayer glorifies Him. So pray. And pray effectively. Number two, be fruitful. Or we could say successful. Again, this is connected to praying, but God wants you to be successful in life. It glorifies Him. Because you give Him all the glory, right? In your success, God is glorified. It's not you running around thinking how great thou art. No, it's how great thou art, how great He is, right? So when He's glorified in your success, you can rest assured God wants you to be successful, and He wants you to be successful, fruitful now, immediately, immediately, immediately. God wants you successful immediately. So let's get to glorifying Him immediately. Number three, overcoming sickness with healing. That glorifies God. A lot of folks think sickness glorifies God. Well, people dying of a sickness somehow is glorifying God. No. Overcoming the sickness and being healed by faith in God, that glorifies Him. Sickness in and of itself glorifies death and thus glorifies the devil who is behind death. So we want to walk in divine health. That glorifies God. Number four, fulfill or finish the work God has called you to do. Finish what He's called. Find and do the will of God, not your own thing. And let's finish the job that glorifies Him. Number five, give eternal life to others by sharing the truth and manifesting the power of His name. Eternal life, giving eternal life to others. That glorifies God. How many want to glorify Him? Yeah, so Lord, man, You glorify me, exalt me, lift me up. What's going to happen? Souls are going to be saved. People are going to be brought into the kingdom of God. People are going to get a revelation of how good God is. And they're going to experience eternal life. Right? We're not just going to get wealthy and blessed and just to hoard it all up for us four and no more. No, it's to bring eternal life to others. And then also praying for others glorifies God. Not just praying and believing and receiving for yourself, but praying for others. Praying for others. Caring about others. That glorifies God. Number seven, walk in unity with the brethren, with the body of Christ. And don't be a discord sower. Don't be a sower of division. Don't be a cause of division. Be a unifier. Be a unifier. Doesn't matter what kind of strife is going on around you. There are people that are full of strife, full of selfish ambitions. Man, we've been filled with the love of God. We're going to respond in the love of God. That glorifies God. God loves unity. The devil loves discord. He loves division. He loves coming over to places where people are all just murmuring and griping and bickering and backstabbing and all that kind of stuff going on. Oh, devil, he just loves that kind of, just like flies, like smelly things. You know how flies are attracted to smelly things? Like a garbage pail. Flies are attracted to smelly things. Demons are like that. Demons are, ooh, they love flying around smelly things. They love when people are saying a lot of things and treating people in a real smelly way. They like getting around that. And they're glorified because they're glorified in it. They get excited about that. See? But no, we want God to be glorified. And He's glorified in unity. Praise God. Clean up all that strife. Say this when you say, I'm a strife cleaner upper. I don't contribute to the mess. That's right. You know, if you want the fire to go out, don't throw any logs on it. Right? I don't care if sparks are popping, pop, 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 fire. It's tempting, tempting, tempting to throw some logs in there, you know, to add some fuel to the fire. Put some of your personal anger and frustration, you know, throw that in there. Right? No, withhold the wood, and watch the fire go down, down, down. In fact, don't just withhold wood. Go over and get yourself a nice big pot of water. God's word is likened to water. Did you know that? And just throw the word on it. I said, throw the word on it. See, because the word will extinguish the flames of strife. The word will put out the strife. The word will put an end to the disunity, the hatred, the bitterness, the confusion. The word will get rid of all that. So just throw the word in there. Throw the word on it. Water the thing down real good. Do not add your opinion. Do not add your opinion and your personal thoughts and feelings about it. I love all the personal counsel on Facebook that people give. All the opinions, well, and my personal feelings about it and what I think about it. And this is just what I feel and this is what I think. And this is my personal experience. Good. Quiet. Because those things don't fix the problem. They just ultimately, in the end, prolong the problem and add to the problem. We do not want to give our opinion. We want to give the word of God. We want to give what God says about it. And friend, we can know what God says about it because we have his word. And now through Jesus, we have his spirit that lives on the inside of us, and he will give us utterance to speak the right thing. So speaking right, speaking by the Spirit, speaking the word of God and not your own opinion glorifies God. And let's go back here to John 7 in verse 17. If anyone wants to do his will, God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. I love that scripture because it tells me right there that if you want to do God's will and not your own thing, then you will know God's word. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he says, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Verse 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Powerful statement here. Jesus lets us know that he who is speaking from himself, his motives are self-centeredness. He's just interested in himself. Now, this is a spiritual law. This is one of those absolutes that Jesus is giving us here, which is great because for us personally, it helps us to locate ourselves so that if we're not speaking from the right place, we're not speaking from love, we're not speaking from faith in God, but we're just speaking from ourselves and giving our opinion, then we can fix it. But if you don't know there's a problem, then you don't know what to fix. A lot of people don't know this very, very big problem right here. Speaking from themselves. Being opinionated. You know, the Bible says, let everyone be slow to speak, quick to hear. We need to be really good listeners. Really good listeners. We need to listen, and we need to consider, and we need to watch how we respond, how we speak. And if we'll just be watchful, God will give us direction. He will give us utterance on what to say. You know, I believe that's exactly what Jesus did when he walked this earth. Again, you know, he was completely reliant upon the Holy Spirit for everything. And the Holy Spirit was looking to the Father. So Jesus would say, he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. And of course, there's a lot of illustrations of that in Jesus' life, but that one in particular where the woman was caught in adultery. And she was taken by these religious people and thrown down in front of Jesus. And they said to him, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. We caught her. And they said to him, and the law says that such a woman should be stoned. But what do you say? Now, this whole thing had been planned out. They were trying to set Jesus up. They knew that if Jesus said, yes, the law says stone her, and they stoned him, then he would get in trouble with the Roman government because he would have been responsible for this woman being stoned. And that was an illegal thing with the Romans. Yet, on the other hand, if he said, no, don't stone her, then the people would rise up and stone him because he is violating the law of God, the law of Moses. So they figure, we got him. He's dead either way. We got him on this one. Dead if he does, dead if he doesn't. And so they said, what do you say? What do you say, Jesus? What do you say about this? And Jesus, the Bible says, he stooped down and began to write in the ground. Began to write on the ground. And I personally believe he was just doodling. Because it didn't say anything specific that he had written down on the while he was down there. I believe he was buying some time. And they continued to press him for an answer. What do you say? The law says this. What do you say? What are we supposed to do with this woman? You tell us. Meanwhile, Jesus had just been teaching. They just interrupted his teaching. All these people are watching. All this pressure is on him to say something and to say the right thing. But Jesus didn't take the pressure. He didn't take the pressure, and he didn't speak before he knew what to speak. Because he only says what he hears his father says. So in this case, he needed some time to hear his father. Sometimes, you know, you get stuff right away. It just comes, your mind is clear, boom. And you know what to say. And sometimes you don't. Don't hurry into saying something. Sometimes you just got to stop and do like Jesus did. And just doodle in the ground. Do something. And just buy yourself some time listening for him. You know you can't just walk away. You have to have an answer. There's a woman here. Her life is on the line. You got to do something. Thank God, God's got your answer. The same spirit that dwelt in Jesus now, through Jesus, dwells in you and I as believers in him. We need to stoop down. We need to listen. And bless God, Jesus got the revelation. He knew what to say, and he stood up with the perfect answer. And he said, he who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her first. He put it all back on them. Don't you love that? They tried to put all this pressure on him. He put it all, one statement, put it all back, went back to doodling in the ground. And then the Bible says they were convicted in their hearts and walked away one by one, starting with the oldest to the youngest. They dropped the stones and they walked away. Jesus had completely silenced them with one sentence. I mean, this was a very, very violent situation. And yet, Jesus put an end to it with one statement. Isn't that powerful? You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that if the axe is dull, one has to use more strength. But wisdom gives success. Wisdom brings success. When you get wisdom from God, see, man can teach you knowledge, but God gives you wisdom. When you get wisdom from God, man, it makes your axe head sharp. And it just causes you to just cut right through that thing. But you see, without God's grace, without his wisdom, we just grab some Bible knowledge and we start hacking. And we're hacking and hacking and hacking and sweating and swinging, missing, hitting the guy over here, hitting the guy over there. Sorry, I took your arm off. Didn't mean it. Saying things that we shouldn't be saying, causing more problems. Then finally we do get the tree down, it falls on the house. It falls in the wrong direction. I mean, just a mess. Jesus very, very pressured situation, he waited to hear from the Father. So here he's telling us, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. In other words, if your motive is to glorify God, not yourself, but you want to honor him with what you say, then what you say is true, and your heart is pure, and there's no unrighteousness in you. Wow! So how important it is to get our tongue under the control of the Spirit and just speak what God would have us to say, but we're only going to do that when it's God that we want to please more than ourselves. But when we want to please God more than ourselves, that's when self is going to be so pleased. The best thing you can do for self is selflessly give your life to God. That's the best thing you could do for yourself. Best thing you could do for yourself is selflessly give your life to God and don't worry about yourself. Instead of worrying about you, be concerned about him. Lord, I want to glorify you. Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, I want this situation to bring you honor and glory and praise. Oh, Lord, don't let me mess up and get in the way of this thing. I'm asking you, God, work through me. Give me your grace that you'd be able to get what you want to get done in this situation and in these people's lives. Oh, that you might be glorified, that your will would be done, Lord, and not mine. Man, you pray like that, and you're setting your heart in the right direction. And a selfless prayer of faith like that to give God all the glory is going to result in results. It's going to result in you getting what you're asking for, and you will have success in what you do in life. And as you commit yourself and what you do to him, to give him all the honor, all the praise, that he might be advanced and made known and lifted up and magnified. As you do that, it's purifying you of all unrighteousness. Every unrighteous, selfish motive. It's making you more true, more trustworthy, more of an honorable person. And you will be honored as a result. Let me read John 7:18 from the Amplified Classic. It says, he who speaks on his own authority seeks to win honor for himself. He whose teaching originates with himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory and is eager for the honor of him who sent him, he is true. And there is no unrighteousness or falsehood or deception in him. You can trust someone that is all about honoring God in what they do. You can trust somebody that whose life is all about glorifying God. Not only can you trust him, God could trust him. God could trust him. And thus more will be made available to him. They'll be open to experience more of his glory in their life. Isn't that good? The CJB, it's something Jewish Bible. I just got the initials. It says, a person who speaks on his own is trying to win praise for himself. But a person who tries to win praise for the one who sent him is honest. And there's nothing false about him. The ERV translation. If I taught my own ideas, I would just be trying to get honor for myself. Don't you love that? If I taught my own ideas, I would just be trying to get honor for myself. I mean, there's so much of that. People teaching their own ideas, right? Rather than teaching God's word. If I taught my own ideas, I would just be trying to get honor for myself. But if I'm trying to bring honor to the one who sent me, I can be trusted. Anyone doing this is not going to lie. The GW, George Washington, I don't know what that is. The GW, those who speak their own thoughts, those who speak their own thoughts are looking for their own glory. But the man who wants to bring glory to the one who sent him is a true teacher and doesn't have dishonest motives. Isn't that good? Don't speak your own thoughts. You mean I can't speak my own thoughts? No. No, you don't want to. And if you are one that is just loves to share your thoughts, you know, the Bible says a fool vents all his feelings. These are good things. We need this. See, that's why the Bible's likened to a mirror. How many of you know if you had a poppy seed right in the middle tooth between your two front teeth and you're walking around smiling at everybody? Huh? You got a couple poppy seeds. I had a chocolate brownie. It was an all-natural one. I had just finished a chocolate brownie, and I had to go talk to some people about some stuff, and I was like, man. So I'm talking like this. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, because yeah. You know, it's chocolate all in there. You know, looks like you're missing a lot of teeth. Right? Thank God for the mirror. You can go over and go all clear. All clear. Or no, not clear. Not clear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't use your finger. That's disgusting. But I didn't have anything else to. You all with me this morning? But you clean that out. You clean that out, right? See, that's what the Word of God does for us. You look in there and go, that's selfish. That is ugly. That's a big brownie stuck right there between those teeth. See, that's why I love the Word. And then you take the water of the Word, you see? And you clean that out. You rinse your mouth out. God's Word will fix your mouth. God's Word will fix how you talk. Hello, somebody. Does anybody need a little help with their talk? Yeah. So we need that. We need that. You know, the Bible says, again, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we got to watch how we talk. If we want to experience life, we want to make sure we're speaking life according to the Word. So God's Word shows these things up. So he says, a fool vents all his feelings. So if you just find yourself venting, what are you going to see in the mirror? Fool. Fool, right? That's what you're going to see in the mirror. You're going to see fool, fool. It's just how I feel. Fool, fool. That's what's going to keep looking at you. So you're either going to fix the thing, you're going to fix the fool. Right? Either fix the fool or you just keep going. So thank God you can look in the mirror and say, ooh, I'm the fool. They're not the fool. I'm the fool. I'm the one venting. Well, they're venting too, but bless God, I'm going to stop. So the one that stops being a fool. Praise God. So we don't want to just vent. That's foolish. That shows weakness. That shows you don't know what you're doing, and it also shows that you're just into yourself. If you're just going to keep going on about how you feel and what you think and get, can I have 20 people's opinions to help me with this situation? It shows that what you are interested in is you. No one else. Certainly not him. But when you care about him, you take your complaint to him and you pray and you seek his face. You wait on him and you hear from him, and that's what you speak. That's what you speak. Somebody say, I hear from God. Because you're his sheep, right? Jesus said, my sheep hear. They hear my voice. All right, the TLB. I think that's the Living Bible. Anyone presenting his own ideas is looking for praise for himself. But anyone seeking to honor the one who sent him is a good and true person. See, again, you don't want your idea just to be your idea.
I have an idea.
Check it with God. Check it with God. Take your idea, check it with God, make sure it's a God idea, that God is with you in your ideas. And, you know, you'll see in life how ideas can evolve into the answer. And I've seen that over the years, that I'll have bits and pieces, and some of it might even seem like it was completely the wrong idea. But it wasn't the wrong idea. We had to speak those ideas in order to get more ideas to create the answer, to get the answer that we were looking for. So somebody, you have an idea about this, you have an idea, we put our ideas together, and God is in that, sparking different ideas. But God is in that if we're looking to God, and our motive is to honor God. And we're not just going to be happy with our idea, with our opinion. That goes with anything in life. We're looking to God, looking to glorify, honor, praise Him by not doing just our thing, but doing His thing, not just speaking our own thing, but speaking His thing. The New International Version says, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. In other words, he's not going to speak on his own. He's going to speak with the help of the Holy Spirit, the help of God. And we see that over here quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is the big one, because the tongue is likened to the rudder of a ship. If we get what we say right, then that'll affect our entire life, the direction that we go in life. So if we're going in the direction of glorifying God and thus being glorified by Him, then we got to get our tongue under control. Our tongue has to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we can't do it ourselves. We need Him. That's why we cling to Him. That's why we cling to His Word. That's why we pray. That's why we seek His face. We ask for His help. We humble ourselves when we do things apart from Him. You need to be able to recognize when you do something apart from Him. You know when you do your own thing. I went off this thing. I did my own thing. Jesus, I repent. Forgive me. Right? You know where you missed it. You know when you did your own thing. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Again, the oracles of God, the New International says, if anyone speaks, let him speak the very words of God. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And then he goes on, he talks about doing things with the ability that God supplies. God will supply us with the ability to speak the right things and to do the right things. When I get up and minister, I don't get up here and minister out of personality and out of my own personal training on how to speak to people. I am not an orator. I am not a public speaker. But I yield to the Holy Spirit and look to the anointing of God to do the work. He gives the utterance. We're all believing that together. We're believing God to give utterance in the service. Well, if He can give utterance to the preacher in the service, then He can give utterance to you wherever you are in life. That's what He's saying here. He's saying do everything with the ability that God supplies. If you're going to speak, speak the very words of God. Speak as the oracles of God. And don't just speak your own opinion. And you will do that when your motive and desire is to honor and glorify God in everything you do, not to honor and glorify yourself and what you're doing in life. You're not just looking to make what you do look good and work. You're looking to glorify Him. And in wanting Him glorified, you have His ability to cause things to come in line, fall in place, and work the way they're supposed to work. Can you say amen? Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, I'm going to glorify God in everything I say and everything I do. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.